ladies and gentlemen. It's Hawk coming to you live. It's Thursday night, 12/5/2019. It's a live show. And I'll tell you what. I just want to say this. There is power in the blood of Jesus. And that is what I'm just going to start out with. Because I'll tell you what. It's just incredible. Just incredible. But, you know, I think I'm reminded of Matthew again. And let's just go to the part here. There we go. Because when I think of Nancy Pelosi, and I think of Schiff, and I think of Nadler, and I think of all of these people, the Troika, which that was a show trial. That was a Soviet Union show trial, and that Troika, the first three people, Noah Feldman, Canlon, Gerhardt, were just like somebody out of a Stalinist show trial, parroting back bullcrap. And yes, I'm going to tell you something, the University of North Carolina, Gerhardt, and the Stanford woman, Canlon, they're supposedly the ones who've written all the textbooks that all of the constitutional lawyers who study constitutional law are reading from. So this has gone down a road that's too deep. It's a long time deep road. Then you had the fourth guy, Turley. And I will just say this, all of these four professorly types, no disrespect to my friends who do that for a living, but all of these guys are like, I wouldn't hire any of them to even fix a traffic ticket for me, or, you know, or try to get out of a misdemeanor. Turley is the best of the three. I call him in this case Officer Truly because he told the truth. The others were the Troika and were, I'm going to tell you what, if that's where Harvard Law is at now, their hot dog, I'm going to tell you what, that Feldman guy looked like he was like a fancy-pantsed poof. What do you call him, poop? Jig your booty? What do you call him? Jig your booty would like Feldman. They could probably have a little side issue together. But old Feldman looked like he was on one of them hobby horses going up and down on a carousel. But this one had him where it was, the sun didn't shine, and he was excited about all of it. Now, I know that's terrible to talk about, but I'm going to tell you what. That, and he was, he was such an excited little boy. At least when we got to Catlin, that she was at least more of a hardcore Stalinist type. These people are not for freedom. These people are not for the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. These people are party apparatchiks. Gerhardt, well, he got him a rich family there somewhere, and he just got into the thing. And, you know, they used to, I know that old Bill Clinton landed a helicopter one time down at Troy, North Carolina, at a high school, you know, high school ball field. So the Carolinas have been flirting with all of this for a while. And then you've got cities that where it is hardcore, where you still got the hardcore K commie element. Well, these are demon commie rats. The day of the old time Mayor Daley, who was for the working man and for big business at the same time, and in those days when he ran Chicago, which is a Democratic city, old Mayor Daley had enough money in the city coffers that they financed their own crosstown expressway without state or federal money. So that was how prosperous it used to be. And then they stripped over the years all those factories and foundries and rail yards and everything out of that town, man. And all of these democratically controlled things that went to the next generation of Democrats, demon commie rats now. But this is not Kennedy and these guys. This is Stalin and Lenin and Trotsky and, you know, Dr. Zhivago kind of crap. So there is going to be something that we'll see as a reckoning, I guarantee you. Oh, I'll tell you. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. And the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. And therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire. So shall it be at the end of the world, and the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth, and then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Oh, I tell you, these, you know, these whited sepulchers, you know, these Pharisees. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like under whited sepulchers, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but within are full of dead men's bones and all of uncleanness. And even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye should be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? So you see, when you see Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, who really, allegedly, is the alleged daughter of an alleged Vito Genovese associated mafioso politiciano, you know, Solon, who allegedly also may have been involved with the heroin, allegedly. And then you have Nancy, the young Nancy, who became in 1959, allegedly became Miss Lubrak of 1959 in Baltimore. With the real nice high heels on and the swimsuit and the sash, Miss Lubrak, 1959, with some real gung-ho boys with the ducktails in brand new coveralls where the, you know, the nameplate says Joe or Rocco or whatever it says on it. And they're giving the thumbs up and the big smiles on their faces. They kneel down beside the Lubrak, Miss Lubrak of 1959. And when I thought about all of that and knowing that, and I heard her say today, you know, the, oh, this is all for the Constitution, and, oh, and the good of America, and blah, blah, blah. No, it ain't. You're still doing your last ditch power grab to try to take it all over. And to cause a massive upheaval. Because you have gone over to the side of the Albert Pikers, you see. And we shall unleash, this is from his Third World War letter to Giuseppe Mazzini, who was head of the Altadena, basically the European Freemasonry, and Pike was the head of the whole thing in the world, and the creator of the 33rd degree. We shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists, and we shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm, which in all its horror will show clearly to the nations the effect of absolute atheism, origin of savagery, and of the most bloody turmoil, and that everywhere the citizens obliged to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries will exterminate those destroyers of civilization and the multitude disillusioned with Christianity. This is what Pike says, not me, whose deistic spirits will from that moment be without compass or direction, anxious for an ideal but without knowing where to render its adoration, will receive the true light through universal manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer brought finally out in the public view. This manifestation will result from the general reactionary movement which will follow the destruction of Christianity and atheism, both conquered and exterminated at the same time. So Nancy Pelosi, you saw her bifurcated today. That means like in two places at the same time almost, right? Well, it is. So she at the purse is talking lovely about, you know, she has to do the, you know, the impeachment to save the Constitution and the system and all that. And it's all lovey-dovey. And then the guy asks her, why do you hate Trump? And then she goes off on the tangent and says, don't you mess with me by using some word like hate. And I thought to myself, well, why do you promote abortion and the murder of babies while at the same time you call yourself a good Catholic girl, grew up in a Catholic house? I don't think so. Murdering of babies, Nancy, is part of your purview, ain't it? Biden, they wouldn't let Biden take communion in South Carolina. And whoever that priest is, he's probably been farmed out to Outer Slobovia or someplace where only the left-handed Lithuanians hang out. That's not a disparagement against Lithuanians or left-handed people. It's just a goofy figure of speech, you see. But ladies and gentlemen, like my friend in the Carolinas, who reads the North Carolina Renegade a lot, you got to watch Virginia, because Virginia has been the wonderful recipient of the love of Bloomberg and Soros. And oh, incidentally, in the Troika Show Trial, the counsel for the demon commie rats, don't call them liberals, don't call them progressives anymore, don't call them Democrats. Demon commie rats, which is what they are. They're going to destroy the United States of America. But the counsel, the legal counsel, is a Soros, allegedly a Soros lackey. An Obamaite. And now tonight I even saw this. This is how tied in all this crap is behind the scenes. Do you remember Obama had a guy that was his buddy, who was his, became his valet at big money. Valet, buddy, friend, puts his clothes out, hangs out with him, shoots baskets in the hoop behind the White House. All that crap. And who knows what else they did, you know? But allegedly, Reggie Love now is kind of ponying over to the jig your booty crowd, you see. Talking about how he sees, after he's seen Jig Your Booty, you know, he's seen him, that he's showing examples of like Obama-esque examples in his life. Well, I'm going to tell you what, for anybody African-American out there, or Hispanic, or white, or Asian, or whatever, or American Indian, you want a punk? You want a punk leading your government? And I should say at this point, another one? Well, then go right ahead and vote for the little boy from South Bend, who's also part of the intelligence community. You see, they pick all the racehorses in a race at some tracks, you know? And they let the public in and win and have fun and have their drinks and bet their money and all the stuff. And then usually about the next to the last race, and everybody's happy because they've been winning. They've had trifectas and this fecta and that fecta and the other fecta, you know. And then along comes that next to the last race, and you got some obscure horse from an owner that's like you never heard of. And that sucker's That horse is from Keeneland, Kentucky. And it's, 22 to 1 or 24 to 1 or, you know, 30 to 1 odds. And then when they come out of the gate, and then the next thing you know, you picked all the favorites for your trifecta or whatever. And then all of a sudden... That old horse from Keeneland, or it could be from down there in Louisiana, you know, by the Lafayette, where they run them into straight line, share in the Cajun country. They run the horses in the straight line, you know. But all of a sudden, that sucker comes out of nowhere and laps the field, man, and takes off and wins it by a mile. Well, wins it by a lot, you see. And takes back all the money they done gave the people. Now I'm going to segue this into what I also see happening, what I told you about quite some time ago. Everybody was excited about William P. Barr was going to go after the people, and oh boy, we're going to put them into the, you know, put them into this and put them into that, and we're going to get them to where they will have them all under indictment and lock them up and put them in chains and take out this one, that one, and the other one. And what did I tell you? What did I tell you is that William P. Barr is the biggest cover-up guy and covered up for the Clintons. And I'm going to reference the book once again, Compromised, Clinton, Bush, and the CIA by Terry Reed and John Cummings. How the presidency was co-opted by the CIA. And this is a SPI, S-P-I, books. And that stands for Schapolsky Publishers, Inc. Copyright 1994 on the hardback edition. You probably can find this used. I've had some people told me they have found it. Compromise, Clinton, Bush, and the CIA, SPI books. 1994, Terry Reed and John Cummings. And you remember I read to you from a chapter, you know, back in that time period. It's from chapter 17 called The New Covenant. And Oliver North, whose name is John Cathy, okay, the undercover CIA agent, resident CIA agent in Arkansas, Akahide Sawahata, Terry Reed, and somebody called Max Gomez, a.k.a. Felix Rodriguez. And then you had Clinton there. And then you had Nash, Clinton's top aide. And all of that. And then you had somebody that was known, a.k.a. William P. Barr. And what was going on there? We had Operation Centaur Road, Rose, and Jade Bridge. And John Cathay, or Oliver North, described himself as a CIA operations officer for Centaur Rose and Jade Bridge, who was now transitioning over to the operations officer for Mexico. And this meeting took place in the bunker of a base. What was it? Fort Robinson or Camp? Well, let's see. They're in the storage bunker. Yeah, let me see here. Yeah, and it's at the Robinson at the ready team. Yeah, so it's an Army facility outside Little Rock, Camp Robinson. And so you have, in addition to the governor and his aide, the guest list was Max Gomez, Felix Rodriguez, John Cathay, Oliver North, resident CIA agent Akahide Sawahata, agency subcontractor Terry Reed, who I know, and the man in charge, the one who would call the shots, he called himself Robert Johnson. Robert Johnson. And that was Assistant Attorney General William P. Barr. And he shut down the Clinton operation in Arkansas, those two CIA operations, which was what he was representing, was the CIA. And he shut them down, okay? And so I told you what would probably happen with Barr is that he would come in, and he would make a big thing about how he was going to restore the confidence in the DOJ, the FBI, the CIA, the DIA, the EIEIOs, and the powers and halls of government. Well, he's just going to cover it up, I told you, didn't I? So now we're starting to see that, oh, even old Bull Durham. Bull, he's the tough bulldog. Tough Bull Durham. He's going to go get him. Because, you know, like my Scott or Temecula asked me the other day, where did old Judge Huber go? I said, I believe he went to see the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. And then now we waited all this time for Horowitz to bring out information that we and you and I already had a year or more ago from the tremendous work of John Solomon, Sarah Carter, Keith Jarrett, and other hardcore good reporters, Tom Fenton, and others who had all the information broken and discussed. We read to you all about I read it to you again the other night. How they did wiretap Trump, all the things. And now, Bull Durham can't seem to find any connection that points, any evidence that points that this was a CIA organized thing. Well, Bull Durham, then you got referees or umpire's eyes, buddy. And you got your boy, William P. Barr, Robert Johnson, from back in the old Bixwick Willie days. And what he's trying to do right now, you see, he's throwing out in these in the WIPO, the Washington Post, and other papers are tossing out little tidbits, you see, to see if you're willing to go along with that or if there's a lot of kickback. These are trial closes or trial balloons to see how much he's got to go against it. Because, you see, when it all broke and when it was sitting right there in Sean Hannity for about 5-6 months and all of the other people that were putting the story out, including me, Brother Quayle, Alex, and others, Hodges, other people, Hagman, when we were all putting it out there, strong, it was all over in the public knowledge. And then Trump was going to declassify all that information. And they had McCabe already basically indicted. Now he's working for CNN for probably $1 million a year. Comey's written his book and is out on the book trail and doing other kind of things. And now we're talking about, there was some low-level FISA guy, attorney, that he forged information and fudged it, changed it. But it really didn't change the overall thing and all of that. And this is what Horowitz, the IG, is saying. So what it tells me is they're trying their trial balloons. And if Trump would have declassified it to all of the American people, which at the time, I told you he probably could not. Otherwise, he would have lost his children to the deep state. And I'm talking about the older kids. I'm not talking about Barron. Because I'm going to tell you what, old Melania, I guarantee you Melania has got a firearm somewhere. She's got good bodyguards of her own. And she's going to keep Barron in the, safe. Let me tell you, I like that woman. That woman is tough and strong and smart. Speaks 5 languages. They won't give her a break. So Barr is going to end up looking to see how much dirty laundry he's got to hang out, whether he's even got a, like the old barber pole where they used to bleed people, They used to hang the bandages out, and that's where the red and blue, his blood sometimes is a darker color, The red, white, and blue stripes on a barber pole are, they used to hang the bandages out to dry, after bleeding somebody. So what he's trying to do is see if he has to put any scalps on a lodge pole of the enemy tribe or some low levels of his own tribe, the CIA, FBI, DOJ. and hope that will suffice. And meanwhile, their other hand, they still have DHS, Department of Human Sacrifice, wanting to get a complete facial recognition system on every person in the United States. And the real ID is how they're doing it. I got a real ID the other day from a state, from Kansas. And you see, I said, well, what if I don't want to do this? Oh, and it's great. They've got a star in the upper corner, just like, you know, the Jewish would have to have a star on their, you've got a star now on the license plate. Or on your license, your driver's license. Well, they said, you know, in about 2020, or a little bit later, if you want to go into a federal courthouse or if you want to go into a post office or a Social Security office, you're going to have one of these. Otherwise, you're going to have to bring, you know, your passport. Well, if you go back to the Total Information Awareness Network that Oliver North was involved with Admiral Poindexter above him, where their symbol was the all-seeing eye. The all-seeing eye, Providence, Lucifer, Ra, don't make any difference. It's Lucifer. That's who it is. And they were all working for it back then, and that's when they were developing Total Information Awareness Network, and that's when they were developing with the help of who? 3X, 2X KGB, and 1 Stasi chieftain. Karpov was brought in. Karpov was wet work. Karpov was, you know, five. Five is funnier, you know what they say. Five is funnier. Division five. You know, directorate five. That's where the wet work took place. And they brought Karpov in as to how to put checkpoints on interstate highways. And also to make sure that you had to get off at a certain place to go through the checkpoint. Well, have you ever seen how they now have put these real strong wires, steel cables on steel posts in the center of the divide, you know, in the ditch or the land in between the four lanes or the six lanes or the eight lanes? So you can't cross over. You can only maybe cross over once every 100 miles, and then that will be with the police right there or a military vehicle. So then you have to get off, and then when they have the checkpoint to get off, you see, what they'll do is say checkpoint ahead, and that'll be up in front of the exit, and you'll take the exit, you see, to get away from the checkpoint. Well, the exit is really the checkpoint. Brother Greg and I used to talk about this. Greg Evenson. It was my friend, and a friend to a lot of you out there, too, and all the peace officers out there, the peace officers, not the guys who arrest somebody for going 31 and a 30, you know, and then because somebody said something bad, then you pop them out of the car, and they got a little testy, and then you search them for everything, and you find a marijuana seed that you planted on them, you know, and then you send them to jail and take all their money, screw up their thing, and they lose their kids, you see, and lose their wife or lose their husband. Not the law enforcement officer. Not the bleeder. But I'm talking about the peace officers who are with the people who keep the peace. And I'm not no cherry boy, I can tell you. There are people that violate a law, you need to arrest them, or you need to stop the car, they're going too fast. That's the way it is. But you know what I'm talking about. Peace officer as opposed to. Dot the I's, cross the T's, get an arrest, you know, on your stat for, you know, any offense. In old New York City, I remember in New York City talking to cops, and they used to have the guys, if they wanted to get their stats up, the detectives, they would go down to Chinatown and pop into one of them Chinese emporiums where they sell everything, or maybe one of those places, you know, in Times Square where they got every kind of stuff in there, and you're going to find a sword cane somewhere. And sword canes are illegal, or were illegal in New York and in a lot of places. And they always had sword canes, okay? And they would arrest him on a sword cane collar. The guys, I used to know some of them in Chicago. I even knew guys that were, they were the ones taking down the scores, okay? It's just, but on the other hand, they left a lot of people alone on the bullcrap. But you cross those, you get what you deserve. You're going to get a trip. But the fact of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, Greg and I talked about this. There's going to be a time when this is all going to start to come apart and go down. And the police are going to have to understand that they should side with the people and be peace officers and keep the peace, if at all possible. Because what's going to go happening here, and I can see it, we got Virginia with all of this stuff that's been put in, all these laws are going to go into effect, what, July 1, right before 4th of July, right? Where you will not even be able to teach your son or your daughter or your neighbor's kids how to shoot a .22. Otherwise, you've just done a Class 5 felony. Boy Scouts will not be able to have a shooting team or teach anybody marksmanship. Krav Maga, Hapkido, Karate, Jiu-Jitsu, Judo instructors will not be able to teach by anybody, because that will be a Class 5 felony. And some of the counties now are starting to not only put in sanctuary for the Second Amendment county status, but mandatory or put in a militia ordinance where the county's going to have its own militia of the people. Now you see, that all can come to a head here. And you got Pelosi, and you got Pelosi going after Trump. You have the Illuminati and the Rothschilds who worship Lucifer the Lightbringer. Their women wear the Go to Mendez pendants. They have the big parties back where that's all used to be on the internet, where they have Cthulhu heads on. Old man Rothschild had a Cthulhu heads on. That's the stag head. And they all had weird parties, and they all worshiped this, that, and the other. And they claimed ascendancy from Nimrod and Semiramis, some of the original black magicians on the planet. And they control trillions of dollars, not billions, trillions. Oh, their corporations don't say this, that, and the other, but they control. So I'm telling you, you got Soros, maybe, allegedly, Soros, allegedly, 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 Soros may be front for them. And what would be a good thing to keep the masses down? Get rid of Christianity, right? Just like Pike said here, you know, get rid of all the other things. Have Judaism and the Muslims fight each other to the death. Have the Muslims come in and take over all of Europe without firing a shot. And having Vikings in Denmark, Norway, Sweden, etc. Also in England and every place else. Germany. Allowing the Muslims to take over entire sections and they can't go there. And then they tell their girls, okay, well, You can't just don't fight them. Let them do it to you. You know, that's about the size of it. And if you pitch any fit about any of that, then all of a sudden you're racist. You're this one. You're that ism. You're that deal. They're the other deal. Right? Well, I'm going to tell you what, there's power in the blood of Jesus. And if you can get yourself an old big print red letter edition of the Holy Bible in a King James Version, and not the New King James Version, not the Blue Jean Bible, not Booty Jig's New Queer Bible, not any of those. Get you something where you can see it, and then get you some magnified glasses. Because you're going to see this country to be torn apart. And if they go into Virginia, and I'm going to tell you what, them old Virginia boys are some pretty tough hombres, let me tell you. They fought in that last Civil War, man. You go out there to Lexington and you start getting into a little bit of that history in Virginia, and you start to see the campaigns they were involved in and how they always put them at the front, man, because they were the toughest son of a bucks there could be. They were professional soldiers. So now, again, you're going to have all these vets, all these guys. You're even going to have all the old moonshiners and all them boys from the old moonshine days and Franklin County, Pennsylvania County, all these different counties, all up and down the mountain area, the Blue Ridge. But you see, when they come, they may have in this whole mix, you see, some incident that forces President Trump to declare the martial law. Or Pence, or even President Pelosi. Third in line, right? She prays for the president. Yes, she's praying for herself. If she's praying for Trump, she's praying that the devil gets him, okay? She's not praying to our Father in heaven. So, Miss Nancy, you're a tyrant. Thomas Jefferson, who founded your party, allegedly. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. And then he gets down here at the other part. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. So if it does start in Virginia, and if it does and they get into what I think it will get into, and this goes back a few number of years in the 90s when you had supposedly the naval officer doing his master's thesis or his dissertation, had those questions that they gave to all the people in the military. Started out at 29 Palms, the Marine Corps. Two of the things were in there: would you be willing to follow orders of the United Nations commander or officer. The second one was after Congress and the president have decided that all firearms must be turned over to the government within 30 days at a collection point, that if after that 30 days or whatever the time frame was, the question of the Marines that were first given it at 29 Palms in training and then given to, back then, almost everybody coming into the military and in the military and also into a lot of police forces and federal agencies. And it basically said, after the President and Congress have decided there's a 30-day time period to turn in all the firearms, and after that said period and then another warning period or whatever of another week or 15 days, it asked them, would you be willing to fire upon U.S. citizens in gun confiscation? Now people say, well, Hawk, there's 423 million guns. Yeah, but here's the other factor. Only 4 out of 10 households in the United States have a firearm in them. That means 6 out of 10 do not. 60, 40, 40, 60. So you see, in terms of ownership or owners, it is in the minority. So all you got to do is get enough people hungry, or maybe you pop off the EMP. And incidentally, you know, you can, it's good to get the EMP shields and all that protection, or build Faraday cages, all of that kind of stuff. And your car might work. You might have stuff in your house, except the power grid is going to be down. So you're not going to have the source power unless you can provide it yourself for the items you protected. Now, if you, let's say you're on, we'll see what, I-70 or I-80 or the I-10 or I-95, or let's say you're in the Carolinas, you're on I-40, Tennessee, Carolinas, I-85, I-77, you see? And some of them old back roads, like, you know, 321 and stuff like that, and up in the mountaintops and stuff. What if they're parking lots and everybody's on them and their car's crapped out, even if you're sitting in a real cool, you know, Dodge Power Wagon from about 1948, all right, and you got it all tricked out, it's beautiful, or you've got a, you know, a 65 Chevy, you know, or a 57 Chevy with the 283 and 2.4 barrels and the positive traction, and it runs like a top. How are you going to get across the roads when all these cars are dead duck and all the computers and brain computers and electronic fuel injection computers and transmission computers and all the stuff is knocked out? By congressional testimony and a number of different people, I've read it to you from different sources, One Second After, William F. Forsgen's book by Forge Books, where at the back, it's written as a novel, but they tell you about what the story is. If you have an EMP that knocks out the whole power grid and a lot of the cars and computers in the United States, the soonest you could get it back up would be about 18 months. And that's if you can obtain all of the high-level components and transformers, etc., that are needed for the power substations and for the transformers on the poles that are back behind your house on the back lot or running down the street. There aren't enough transformers and components to reboot the entire grid. So they're born within 12 months without power. 90% of the population of the United States will die. Now, what's that sound like? Sounds a little bit like Matthew 24, doesn't it? So I don't make a mistake. Let me read that portion of it right there. You know what I mean? For then shall be great tribulation. This is verse 21, Matthew 24. Such as was not since the beginning of the world, to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Well, if you were, you know, went to church since you're three and you put a dime in each week, and but you're really not sure if you believe, and you don't know if you've ever really believed in Jesus, but you go to church, are you a Christian? If you don't have the personal relationship set up with Lord Jesus, then you'd better get one quick. Repent of your sins to Lord Jesus. Ask him to come into your heart to be your Savior. And by his grace, you see, by his coming down and being sent by his Father, our Father in heaven, being sent on the earth to come and to go through what he did in order to then be able to wash your sins clean, man, that's the best deal in town. And you'd better avail yourself of it, or you probably ain't going to make it. So 90% dead after that. Well, you could have that experience in other countries in the world, couldn't you? Or the other countries in the world that did it to you, China, Russia, Iran, heck, France and Germany, you know. Heck, Canada might let the Chinese in, you know. They did already. Red Chinese already were in lager with the smoky trucks. 14 years ago, we talked about it. Not all that far from Lethbridge, you know. Out in the boondocks. Smoky trucks are trucks that they had experimental situation where they did experiments on human subjects that they would pick up allegedly off the street. Homeless, vets, stew bums, junkies, whatever, whoever's on the street. Somebody in a car late at night, lost their house. They come by, they see you, they grab you on out, they put you in a cage inside a big truck or a double, you know, trailer truck, and work some experiments and see what kind of bugs you can see if they can get something to mutate, or they try different chemical and biological weapons on you. And then when they're done with you, they've got the smoky truck has got a on board smoke pot, fire pot, oven, and then they just basically crematoria. It's a mobile crematorium. If you'd listened back 14 years ago, you know that. Brother Quayle and I talked to it about then. So this is going to go real wild, and it's going to be just wild. It's going to be starting here at Christmas. And this whole year is going to be really goopy coming up. And now we got Hillary maybe starting to run, you see. You got impeachment. And meanwhile, we've got some of the best job numbers ever been. The best African-American unemployment. The best Hispanic unemployment. The best female unemployment. The best Asian unemployment. The overall best unemployment since 1969. And had they'd done it the way they were supposed to have done it, and the way Trump wanted to have originally done it, which was to, you could get your money back out overseas if you invested it in plants here to build factories in the United States. But they let them off on that, you see, thinking, well, they'll do it anyway. No, they won't. But that was supposed to be part of it. Then the other part that we're going to go on into within the first 4 years here, into the infrastructure. This thing would have been humming along. We'd have had 5-7% growth rate. Then you could have had a lineup of the best qualified people from Mexico, from wherever, coming, applying in the regular order to work jobs that were available that nobody could fill. And this country would have been so flush, so booming. But instead, these demon commie rats and these CIA, EIEIO scumbags and the NSA scumbags and all of the EIEIOs and the high-level Luciferians and those in league with the Luciferian alien pine scum and the old Anunnaki, the fallen angels who are back and some never left. And we're getting about ready for the time of crossing a planet Nibiru again, you see. Because you're having all the quakes. Brother Quayle's got the catastrophic symposium coming up. He moved it on up into June or July in Branson. You ought to get ready and do something with that, let me tell you. Ladies and gentlemen, you want to keep old Hawk in the air. You want to keep me striking blows against the Luciferians, against the enemies of the Lord Jesus. And I hope you do. Anything is most needed and most wanted, particularly this time of year. FRNs, piece of silver, piece of gold. Check, money order. Send it to Hawk. 3965 West 83rd Street, number 356, Prairie Village, Kansas, 66208. Hawk, 3965 West 83rd Street, number 356, Prairie Village, Kansas, 66208. Don't go into there Luciferian knifed out of fight. It might start Virginia. You better read up on it and see what's going on. And if you don't have a firearm, go out and buy one tonight. Go and buy one tomorrow and buy a minimum of 1,000 rounds. Send a message. They're watching. Buy as much long-term storage food and canned goods as you can. Buy gas masks, Tyvek Epsons, Mickey LaPua, baby. You squeeze that old trigger. Don't jerk it, buddy. Mighty men and women of valor, use your high-tech. Strike blows, Fandango Rangers, I know you're ready.